Today, The Guardian's Gary Young returns to his hometown of Stevenage, one of the seats that could swing this election. And, in opinion, Misha Fraser-Carroll on the issues shaping how young people will vote.
What's the most interesting place you've been to?
Here's the thing, in a way, everywhere is interesting, isn't it? And the point is how you make it interesting. Sometimes you've got to look a little bit harder, but I think Stevenage is interesting.
Guardian writer Gary Young grew up in Stevenage, the first new town built after the Second World War. And in the run-up to this election, he's been returning there regularly.
Somebody, after the war, thought, you know what, we need to make a beautiful town for people to live in because their houses have been bombed. And so they made this whole town from an idea. And they built the houses that I lived in and you live in. And if they'd had a different idea, it might have gone somewhere else. It might be somewhere else. I find that fascinating.
On his visit, Gary's been speaking not just with primary school children, but with old family friends who have watched Stevenage change over the years. As a bellwether seat, where the vote tends to predict who gets to Downing Street, it's a good place to get a sense of the prevailing national mood, which in this election seems as complicated as ever. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, Gary Young's Stevenage. If you take a train to Stevenage, one of the first things you'll see when you exit the station is a mural of famous sons of Stevenage.
There's Kenji Fenton,
the jazz musician.
He's a friend of the family. And then to the right, Lewis Hamilton.
The racing driver.
And Ashley Young.
The footballer.
Now, one of the interesting...
And you're on it!
Yeah, famous is a stretch, but yeah. Favoured. Yeah, yes, I am. I'm right there next to Ken Follett.
And then here, we get to... That's me over there.
Take a moment to
how did it feel when they told you you were going to be on a mural?
I didn't have a sense of, you know, how big it would be. I mean, it's kind of quite big. And it's nice to go to your hometown and to think that someone, some committee appreciates what you've done. But yeah, it's pretty weird.
Stevenage appreciates you, Gary. And you spent this election going back.
Yeah.
Again and again to Stevenage, not just because it's your hometown, it's also interesting because it's a bellwether seat.
Yeah.
Tell me about your childhood there.
Well, I was born in Hitchin because Stevenage didn't have a maternity hospital, but I spent my entire childhood there. My parents moved there maybe about 3-4 years before. My dad got a job at the Stevenage Wine Society. Stevenage was created by the Labour government after the war.
And in the quiet countryside of North Hertfordshire, the dream of a better future materialised with the birth of the first new town.
As a kind of totemic new town, that this, the world will come and see what we have done in Stevenage through silk and sand. So it was a really nice place to grow up.
The heart of a town lies in its people. Only they can reflect the true qualities of their own environment. Nowhere is this more evident than in the first new town, Stevenage.
And that was why my parents moved there, because they had good council housing. It was, I think when the town was created, it was 100% council housing. So nurses and teachers and self-employed people would move to Stevenage because there was a good stock of council housing. And everywhere else they'd gone, they would get all these kind of twitchy curtains, black family moving in next door. And when they went to my street in Richdale, Mrs. Stilling, our next door neighbour, was there, and she offered to warm up my brother's bottle of milk. My brother was, you know, a baby. And so they got this welcome and they thought, well, you know, we'll move here.
And you mentioned your neighbour warming up your brother's milk and how this felt different to your parents from other places that they'd lived. I mean, was there a colour blindness in Stevenage?
No, there wasn't. No, there was, I mean, there was a paradox, really. There was a significant amount of racism. This was the 70s. There were people up the road who would scream abuse, you know, as we came home. There were the Stevenage skinheads you had to watch out for of a kind of Friday and Saturday evening. There was racism, but there was also a lot of solidarity. And interestingly, because it was a new town, while there was racism, it hadn't had time to kind of really infect all the institutions because the institutions were all new. So it's intriguing to me that Stevenage, which does not have a big black population, the two most famous people it's produced are Lewis Hamilton and Ashley Young.
Who are both and Gary Young.
I'm going to go with Lewis Hamilton and Ashley Young as being proper famous. And then it's had two black mayors, one male, one female. The chief of police is black. And I think that comes from being in a place where nobody in that time had really been written off.
There's something quite incredible about that mural. I mean, I'm sort of joking around with you about your own celebrity stardom in Stevenage, but all those black heroes of this town in Hertfordshire, one of those, as you say, is Lewis Hamilton. What did you make of his recent comments about coming from the slums?
You know, it's been a really, really long journey, and it was really a dream for us all as a family to do something different, to, you know, kind of, for us, get out of the slums, we would say. It was not the slums, but just come out from somewhere and do something, you know, and we also...
First of all, he corrected himself immediately, and he said, well, not slums.
I wanted to take a second to send a message to people back in the UK, but also to people in Stevenage, where I grew up, somewhere I'm incredibly proud of coming from and still love to this day. So please, if you are getting up in your feelings about a mistake that I made on stage, don't bother with it. Throw it to the side.
And what he meant, he was poor. He was working class and poor. And he was kind of talking about that, I think. So I didn't, but I know a lot of people did. And I understand why they did, because Stevenage gets quite a bad rep.
But it sounds like it was a place of opportunity.
There was a kind of egalitarian kind of class blindness in a sense, because everybody was working class and people were working. That was the other thing, was that people actually had jobs. So it was quite Thatcherite.
One of the great debates of our time is about how much of your money should be spent by the state and how much you should keep to spend on your family.
When you got the chance to buy your own house, people, they went for that. They really went for that. And I remember it quite well.
Anyone who wants to own his own home can expect help from a Conservative government.
They were the foot soldiers of Thatcherism in all sorts of ways. And so when Stevenage votes for Brexit, which it did, you know, they vote for it in quite a big way, this is a working class town that isn't like those northern towns that they talk about. It has voted Labour, you know, they voted Labour all through the Blair years. The local council has been Labour since 1973. So it's not like people don't vote Labour. But when they vote Tory, it's not some wrench from some kind of historical attraction to either the Labour Party or the unions.
You've covered politics. You've worked at The Guardian for 26 years.
Yeah, a long time.
And you're seen as a role model now in Stevenage and elsewhere. And you were recently asked to speak at Mossbury Primary School.
Okay, good morning, Mossbury.
Where you were speaking with young students. And they obviously wanted you there to provide an aspirational role model.
At what age did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
That's a good question. I didn't know until quite late.
Because I get invited to do lots of schools, I have a thing that I'll only go to schools where I live or where I'm from. So whenever I'm invited to Stevenage, to a school, I always go. And this was an invitation that actually happened before the election was called, so I didn't know that I was going to be covering the election. It's generally true that people say that we want kids to see you because you came from here and then you went on to do something else, something interesting, and kind of we want them to know that they can do that too.
First one, I'm going to talk about how I became a journalist.
Yeah, just kind of, and if you don't mind, kind of linking it to that you've come from Steven. I just want them to understand that they can, you know, they can have aspirations. And
it was Emma Skinner who invited me. She's a teacher there. And my family, I've known her family for, it would be north of 40 years. And my mum taught her.
My mum was a teacher, and actually she taught Mrs. Skinner. Yeah.
I know I did go to school. I did.
There's an image to try and get.
Okay, so you're in a school, it's the middle of an election. I mean, last time round, it was all about school cuts. Ask any teacher, they'll tell you about school cuts. I mean, what was Emma saying?
Well, Emma was feeling it. She was feeling the pinch in terms of how the cuts had affected the school. Emma's clearly dedicated to both her profession and her school.
When I look at those children, as a teacher, I'm expected to be a huge amount of other things. I'm having to look at, like, their needs emotionally, physically, mentally, and cater for all of that alongside us teaching them. It's a huge amount of stress.
So she's in all hours. She's often in at the weekend. And she's not just devoting time, but resources.
Yeah, my husband says, what are we doing? Like, supporting the education system on our own. I like my classroom to look nice, so I go and
buying the things to make the class look good, to make it the kind of place that kids really want to work in. There's a bunch of things going to Stevenage and thinking, that certainly wouldn't have been true when I was growing up. My mum was a teacher, so I would have known if she was spending her own money on stuff like that.
Thank you.
Does Emma know how she's going to vote?
Let me see you out.
Emma is going to vote Labour. I don't think that conclusion came easily to her. And her husband is a Tory. Her dad is a Tory. She voted Tory last time.
I can tell you who I'm feeling that I will probably... I think I should choose to vote Labour because I feel that they're the party that are going to kind of give the money to the services that I feel are important, give money back into education.
She's not a reflexive Labour voter. But when she looks around her at the things that she thinks make sense for her job and her life, that's the conclusion she's come to this time.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because we've had 9 years of austerity and it's clearly taken its toll on public sector workers. But interestingly, this is a new thing for Emma, and you said her husband and dad are voting Tory. I mean, does that cause tension at home?
I don't know her husband, but I know her dad, and I think her dad probably, you know, respectfully disagrees.
I possibly don't have a discussion with my dad, maybe. I don't know. I find it a little bit sad that perhaps he hasn't been influenced by my life and how hard I work.
I imagine quite a lot of families having these issues in this election and post-Brexit. You say you knew Emma's dad quite well. Tell me about him.
Jeff was my mum's mortgage broker and financial advisor, I guess. Not that we were rolling in it. And, I mean, I went to Jeff straight from Emma's school.
You know, and they're trying their damnedest, really, to do right by the pupils. We all think that to solve problems, we have to throw money at it. And sometimes that's not the answer. Sometimes we have to look at it from a different angle to say, OK, are we using the money that we've got in an efficient way?
And Jeff is deeply sceptical about all Labour spending plans. Where's the money going to come from, he keeps saying. And he thinks that money, more money, isn't always the answer. Sometimes you have to think laterally, I guess, which is a different way of saying not spend money.
Yeah, but then if that's not the solution, what does he think is? Did he acknowledge there was a problem?
He completely saw that there was a problem. But Jeff is a Brexit guy. I mean, that's not all he is, but that's a big bit of his politics. So Jeff said that he would stand for the Brexit Party. And then when the election was called, he said he wrote to the party and said that they should not stand. And he said, at the end of the day, what we want is to leave. And he said, it's like a divorce.
You know, if people go through a divorce, they go backwards. But it's not the end of the world. You know, within a matter of maybe a year or so, they're back to probably where they were and moving forward. Yes, we might end up having to go backwards, but we're the fifth largest economy in the world. I don't know what it is that people are fearing.
I mean, you're in a place, Stevenage, where, as you've seen with this very one family, people have different political views. It's gone Tory, it's gone Labour. It was 57% leave, which means it was 43% remain. And I kind of think you don't want to think of things in a binary way. Just because somebody supports the Conservative Party doesn't mean that somebody on the left should think that they don't care about education or health or food banks or whatever else is going on. I mean, did you understand someone like Jeff, who's got really quite different political views to yours?
I do understand him because I grew up with a lot of people who are like that. I mean, I grew up at a time and in a place where being working class and being Tory were not understood to be contradictory in that place. So I do understand where he's coming from. It's not where I'm coming from. But so we talked also about, I talked also to Jeff about homelessness and food banks and so on.
And what do you say, Jeff, to people who say, see the food bank and the homeless, that's austerity that is. Some people have said that to me. That's Tory policy. That's austerity. They've made all these cuts.
Well, yeah, look, it is unfortunate. And I have to say that whilst homelessness wasn't as big an issue as it is now, but unfortunately, we've always had homeless people. The only thing that I would say that is a lot different is the food banks. I think it's appalling. And I think politicians as a whole should be ashamed. And I don't care what colour we're going to talk about. It's blue, yellow, red, whatever.
The thing I find challenging is if people don't want to take responsibility for that, because those are clearly, in my view, a response to austerity. And when people say Labour will wreck the economy, I think the economy is wrecked. There's food banks. There are kids without enough food. There are people without houses. So who's this economy for?
So you're here in a bellwether seat, a place you know well because you grew up there. You've still got lots of contacts there. What did your reporting over this election period and your reporting beyond that, Gary, what does it leave you thinking as we head into this election?
It leaves me thinking that it's very volatile. There are a significant number of people who know what they're going to do. Jeff knows what he's going to do. Emma's husband knows what he's going to do. There are people out there for whom those loyalties are real and consistent. Then there are people like Emma who are kind of moving one way or another on the basis of their experience. There's a guy I met who, when I first met him, was voting Liberal Democrat. Then he shifted to Labour. This is not a fickle man at all. He moved to Labour. His wife is of that specific generation of women that is going to lose out on the pension changes that are called WASPIs. When he saw Labour's manifesto, and when he heard the commitment to WASPIs, and when he thought about what was going to happen in Stevenage, he thought, I need to vote Labour. I really need to get the Tories out. Then Corbyn refused to apologise that time. I mean, he'd apologised before, but he did not apologise on the Andrew Neil show to Jews for his anti-Semitism. And for this man, that was too much. And he says he's going to vote Green now, that he just can't vote Labour. But that's all happened in the last 2 weeks. And there's another week to go. So I don't know where that man is going to end up. But it's important because all of those decisions are informed. He's not kind of thinking, well, I like his tie or I like his hair. And so it's a very volatile situation.
If you just think forward to the end of this week, what will it mean for the country if Stevenage has a Labour MP and Jeremy Corbyn is walking into Downing Street?
It's going to be an enormous, I think quite exciting, leap into something very, very new and as of yet unknown. We haven't tried this yet. Given that we've tried other things and this is where we are, I don't have a problem with that. But if Stevenage goes Labour and Britain goes Labour and it's the end of the week and Jeremy Corbyn is walking into Downing Street, then politics is not going to be boring for a long, long time.
And if Stevenage stays blue and it's Boris Johnson returning to Downing Street, what then?
If Stevenage stays blue and it's Boris Johnson returning to Downing Street with a decent majority, well then, I guess we know to some degree that we're going to get Brexit. We know what kind of Brexit it's going to be. We know that they will take the foot off the gas with austerity, but there'll still be some form of austerity. The poor will still have to pay. But otherwise, I think it's a leap into the unknown, because we have never had this before. We have never had, I think, a prime minister who lies so reflexively and who has expressed so much contempt for so many. And it suggests a serious kind of shift in the kind of politics that we're going to see, a kind of period of distortion and frustration in politics, and I think an extended period of pain economically.
Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Gary Young. Do go to theguardian.com and have a read of the pieces he's been writing about Stevenage during the election. Coming up, what's motivating young people to get out and vote in Thursday's election? Now, this election campaign has seen a surge in registrations to vote from people under 35, an age group traditionally the least likely of all to vote. For Guardian and Gal Dem writer Misha Fraser-Carroll, Thursday's big vote presents young people with a real opportunity to have their voices heard.
There's been a lot of talk about whether there was a youthquake in 2017. That means young people coming out to vote in unprecedented numbers and potentially shaping the entire outcome of the election. While we don't know whether a youthquake did happen or not, we do know that over 875,000 more people have registered to vote since 2017, and two-thirds of those are under the age of 35. Clearly, something's going on. Getting that many people to register to vote hasn't been easy. It's taken celebrities like Stormzy posting across social media, encouraging people to register, and also groups like Momentum, which have managed to register over 100,000 people via Facebook ads. But there are also some key issues that have affected young people particularly in the last 2 years that have motivated them to go out and have their say. First up is Brexit. We know that 3/4 of young people are in favour of a second referendum. Since the Brexit referendum happened, we've seen 3 years of contention, we've seen deadlock in Parliament, which has been really frustrating for young Remainers to watch. We've also seen two really big scandals that surround Brexit. So firstly, Cambridge Analytica, but secondly, the revelation that the Leave campaign potentially broke electoral law. All of this has kind of just galvanised young people and I think made them really, really keen to have their voices heard on Brexit and to finally turn the Brexit tide. The second issue is race and immigration. So our demographic is more diverse than any demographic that's come before. We're more likely to embrace multiculturalism, But since Brexit, we have seen a rise in anti-immigrant sentiment and a spike in racist hate crimes after the referendum happened. We also saw the Windrush scandal and a number of different headline Home Office cases, which demonstrate that people of colour are increasingly being threatened in terms of their status of being in this country. All of these things are serving as key motivators that are driving young people, and especially people of colour, to go out and vote. Thirdly, there's the climate. We know that to an extent this election was always going to be framed as the Brexit election, but in many ways 2019 was a year of people focusing on the environment. We saw, maybe for the first time in a really long time, young people coming out and feeling mobilised and driven to take matters into their own hands when it came to the environment. We saw this with the school strikes for climate, and we also saw this with the Extinction Rebellion protests. Greta Thunberg has served as an idol for a lot of young people and a real motivator for us to kind of get out, have our voices heard, and finally get climate on the agenda. We know that young people are disproportionately likely to vote for left-wing parties and to vote for Labour, and this could potentially shape the entire outcome of the election. But we also know that the only way to change things is to go out and actually vote. Registering isn't enough. There are a lot of obstacles to us doing that, whether that's the December 12th date when a lot of people are on their way home from uni, or just the fact that young people are less likely to turn up. So if young people want their voices heard on December 12th, they need to get out and make it happen.
That was Misha Fraser-Carroll. You can read more from her on the website. My thanks to her and to Gary Young. Today's episode was produced by Mithali Rao and Courtney Youssef. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.